Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Hold on to the edge of your seats because you are in for quite the ride. It's time for the Granada Forum Radio Show. Right now, live on air with your hosts, Granada, Wendy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Granada Forum Radio Program. I'm your host, Wendy. My co-host, Nick Pearson. Nick, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going?
And my wonderful producer, Richard Kane.
Hello there.
Thank you. This is Revolution Radio. We're the number one commercial-free, listener-supported internet talk radio station in the world. Our call-in number to give us a bunch of hell is 206-855-3056. That's 206-855-3056. And we are at freedomslips.com. There you go. We have a very special guest tonight. His name is Gary Wade. He's a physicist. He'll be on with us from 7:30 to 9. So, again, the call-in number is 206-855-3056. And that's Gary Wade, the physicist. So it's going to be good stuff with Gary tonight. I can't wait. I'm going to get into some real fast into our announcements, and then we'll get into some conversation, to say the least. So let's get into some announcements. Okay. The Cardiology Conference, this is 2017 at the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, and that is October 11th through the 14th, 2017. And go to www.cardiologyconference.com. That's www.cardiologyconference.com, and check them out. There you go. That's for 2017 at the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, October 11th through the 14th. And again, that's cardiologyconference.com, cardiologyconference.com. There you go. And I want to make a plug real quick for these guys, too. The MUFON Symposium is taking place right now, starting tomorrow. I believe the JW Marriott, Las Vegas, Nevada, July 21st through the 23rd, 2017. Case for the Secret Space Program. If you go to MUFONSymposium.com, you go right on their website. That's MUFONSymposium.com. That's at the JW Marriott, Las Vegas, Nevada. That's this weekend, Case for the Secret Space Program. And that's MUFONSymposium.com. Check them out. There you go. All right, guys, let's move on. Our good buddy Mark Becker, who runs the New Life Expo in New York, nice gentleman. That's newlifeexpo.com, newlifeexpo.com. His phone number is 516-897-0900, 516-897-0900. There you go. Okay. The International UFO Congress meets every February. Go to the website for books and tapes. Go to ufocongress.com. That's ufocongress.com. Their phone number is 1-877-836-0110. 1-877-836-0110, and that's UFOCongress.com for them. Our good buddies at the Cancer Control Society, go to www.cancercontrolsociety.com, www.cancercontrolsociety.com. Their phone number is 323-663-7801, 323-663-7801. That's for all the alternative therapies. They will be, I believe, in Glendale, at Labor Day weekend, but check their website for all the details, and we'll be there. We'll be there live, me and Nick, and maybe Richard. Definitely, if not, he'll be with us by phone. Okay, so that's for them. Okay, so let's just move right along. And that's the Cancer Control Society, and that's Labor Day weekend. Just go to cancercontrolsociety.com. Okay. For books and tapes for the Conscious Life Expo, go to consciouslifeexpo.com, consciouslifeexpo.com for books and tapes. To check out the chemtrails, which they started up again, unfortunately, in where I live in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California, go to losangelesskywatch.org, losangelesskywatch.org, or another wonderful website is geoengineeringwatch.org. That's geoengineeringwatch.org. Good stuff there. Check them out, please. My good buddy Brian Hall, go to brianhall.com. That's brianhall.com. Or ConspiracyCon, actually, Brian Hall. Just go to conspiracycon.com. Excuse me, my good buddy Brian. ConspiracyCon.com. That's ConspiracyCon, C-O-N.com. You go right on his website. Our good buddy Jordan Maxwell, check out jordanmaxwellshow.com. That's the jordanmaxwellshow.com for books and tapes for Jordan. And that'll be interesting. We'll have Jordan on sometime next month. And that's jordanmaxwellshow.com. That's jordanmaxwellshow.com. Our buddy in Florida, Freedom Law School, Payman, crazy man, but nice guy, all kinds of information. Go to www.livefreenow.org. That's www.livefreenow.org. His phone number is 813-444-4800, 444-4800 at www.livefreenow.org. Check him out. Here you go. Also, too, check out the AmericaFreePress.net. That's www.AmericanFreePress.net. Check them out. Our good buddy Ken, who does the New Living Expo in San Mateo up by San Francisco, go to www.newlivingexpo.com. That's www.newlivingexpo.com. His phone number is 415-382-8300, 415-382-8300 at www.newlivingexpo.com. Check them out. If you guys are looking to go into space, check out XCOR, www.xcor.com. That's xcor.com for them. And what else would we say? It's always a handful. Oh, check, and since we're, you see where, I can't find it. Well, it's probably somewhere in here. Our good buddies at Scalar Technology, go to www.creativestrengths.us. That's creativestrengths.us. And his phone number is 805-364-3051, 805-364-3051. For health and vitality, but he does stuff in remote healing at www.creativestrengths.us, 805-364-3051. Check him out. Our good buddy, Dr. Primatera Holistic Clinic, they're fantastic. Toll-free number, 855-633-6500. That's 855 area code, 633-6500, 633-6500, 855 toll-free number. I have to dial one, though. That's James Primatera. Unbelievable stuff from them. And go to www.primatera.com. That's www.primatera.com. This is for all the holistic energies and stuff. They're fantastic. They'll help you get well if you have problems. That's what we can recommend. That's what we know. We can't say enough. Good people. Okay, let's see, moving on. Our good buddies, Julian B.J. Davis and TopPriorityMovie.com. That's TopPriorityMovie.com. Check them out. My good buddy, Steve Hensling. If you guys got IRS problems, these guys are fantastic, or liens or stuff like that. They're pretty knowledgeable. Go to WelcomeFreeEnterpriseSociety.com. That's www.WelcomeFreeEnterpriseSociety.com. His phone number is 209-966-7040, 209-966-7040. That's if you have problems with the IRS, you need questions. These guys are great. And that's www.WelcomeFreeEnterpriseSociety.com. Again, the phone number 209-966-7040. Great people there. Our good buddy, Deborah Tavalis, we can't say enough about her. Just go to her website, www.stopthecrime.net. That www.stopthecrime.net. Absolutely fantastic lady. Unbelievable. If you're looking for EMF protection, go to www.millennium-products.com at www.millennium-products.com. His phone number, Warren, 904 area code, 904-444-2345. That's 444-2345. If you guys have EMF protection, you should be stuff on your phones, wearing on your neck or something, guys, on your computers. All kinds of stuff you need for that, I can tell you. My good buddy, DrJRadioLive.com, check him out at DrJRadioLive.com. If you're looking for the Mars Society, check out www.MarsSociety.org. That's www.MarsSociety.org. Also, too, check out the National Space Society and NationalSpaceSociety.org. That's the NationalSpaceSociety.org for books and tapes. Okay. Learn the Risk, I can't say enough. In 1960, there were five. 1983, 24, 2016, 71. At learntherisk.org, I have to put a phone call back into her this week. I'm going to learntherisk.org. Check them out. Our good buddy, Dr. Stan, who has passed, but check out his website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com for books and tapes for Dr. Stan. Full of information at radioliberty.com. I can't say enough about that. Let's see, I'm almost done with this. www.foodandwaterwatch.org. That's for Monsanto against them. www.foodandwaterwatch.org. Check them out. Check out Carrie Cassidy's website, which is projectcamelot.org. That's projectcamelot.org. Check out G. Edward Griffin's website, who wrote the book The Creature from Jekyll Island and A Cure for Cancer, at realityzone.com. That's realityzone.com for G. Edward Griffin. Also, too, check out the Jeff Rentz Society at jeffrentz.com, justrentz.com. Great books and tapes. Phenomenal information from Rentz at rentz.com. Alex Jones, Infowars.com. That's Infowars.com. The Drudge Report. Go to drudgereport.com. News World Daily. That's News World Daily. Newsmax. Check out Newsmax. Good stuff there. What else have I missed out? Rebecca Roth at Behind the Galley Curtain. That's Behind the Galley Curtain for Rebecca Roth. For those who are all pilots, you might want to check her out, though. But fantastic stuff on 911. And that's Rebecca Roth, Behind the Galley Curtain. Also, too, let me think if I've missed anybody. Drinkyourvitamins.com for Ola Lola. We can't say enough about that company. Drinkyourvitamins.com for Ola Lola. Good stuff there. Nick, can you give out a couple websites?
The Center for Self-Governance.com. You know, check them out. You know, take a couple of their classes and see what you think. They're pretty good. Teach you how to put your senators and your congressmen and your local electeds in line.
I agree.
JBS.com or JBS.org. I think that they got one of each. You know, the John Birch Society. You can check those guys out. They've been fighting this fight for over 50 years and probably 60 years at this point, since the 1950s.
Yeah.
So you can check out the John Birch Society.
Yeah.
You already mentioned a couple that I wanted to.
Okay. Can you give out Michael Murphy's maybe too?
Yeah. Truthmediaproductions.blogspot.com.
Great.
We haven't heard from him in a while, but hopefully we'll hear from him again here pretty soon.
I hear you.
Mike was the guy who did the What in the World Are They Spraying and Why in the World Are They Spraying movies.
Right.
One new thing for the Granada Forum that we also have, if people are so inclined, they can go onto Facebook and they can look up our Granada Forum Facebook group. Please join. You know, I post articles on there and I post our shows on there. And so if the more people, the better.
Okay. I didn't even know what we had. Well, there you go. Learn something new every day. That's amazing. I'm trying to think something in the back of my head, but it just hasn't probably popped into my head yet, but no problem. Okay. So I think we finished with announcements. We did pretty good there. Real quick. Okay, Nick, one of the things I want to talk about is that Loretta Lynch, who was on the tarmac with Bill Clinton in October, November of 2016, just before the election.
Right.
They have found out that Paul Ryan was aboard that plane making meetings. There's big trouble. I mean, I think they've got to drain the swamp immediately and unbelievable.
Otherwise, I think they're just gonna
nail him for tying his shoe.
Right. Oh, of course they're gonna nail him for if the guy breathes air, and they're gonna blame him for global warming.
Yeah.
But as far as the Paul Ryan story goes, I was looking over that all afternoon, and I cannot find any credible news sources for it. I really can't. I saw the sites that were posting it up, and I don't trust any one of them. So I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I'm not going to sit there and go, yeah, it absolutely did happen, because the news sources that are reporting it are not credible. The newspaper that it was printed in doesn't even exist. You know, the ones that are being, the newspaper that's being cited doesn't even really exist. And the
was
only
this
thing
on did InfoWars do a story on this or Drudge?
No, they didn't. But here's the thing. The thing is, it's like I don't really get the reason or the need to make up a bunch of news stories. The Democrats, the communists, and the rhinos the other communists are screwing everything up so badly, we don't need to make anything up. Okay, you know, and all those people out there who are tossing these things out there, you know, knock it off. I mean, yeah, it's funny for a laugh if there's a little humor behind the story, but we don't need to be making stuff up. They're doing themselves in. Okay, we don't need to be promoting fake news stories or, you know, and whatever, trying to bring them down. They're doing a pretty good job all by themselves.
Right.
So, you know, let's be a little bit careful about what we want to report. I mean, Granada Forum is very good at what we do. You know, InfoWars is good at what they do, and Drudge is good at what they do, and so on down the line. The alternative media, you know, we don't need these other people out there creating fake stories, and then everybody runs with it, because and then it turns out to be fake, and then the mainstream media gets to turn around to alternative media and say, hey, look, you guys don't even know what the hell you're talking about. You don't vet anything. You just run with it. Right. So I'd say let's Paul Ryan being there, that was something new to me. Kind of find out that it was pretty much not on the up and up. So I think it's pretty much let it go at this point. Because there's nothing to back it up. There really is nothing credible to back it up.
All right.
I mean, if there was some credible sources behind it, then I would be absolutely running with it. But right now, it just really does sound. And I'm not even talking about don't go to Snopes and act like they're the be all end all of reporting on fake news stories, because they have an agenda themselves. You know, but, you know, do a little research, look into it. And before, and I'm not talking to you, Wendy, I'm talking to everybody else. Before you start like posting this all over social media and the internet, you know, make sure that you know what you're talking about.
All right. I'll do some research on this. By the way, so, what else says in the news? Well, I'm really pissed about the repealing of Obamacare, because, this is what the Republicans campaigned on. And this isn't really Donald Trump's fault, because this is the Republicans who ran for office and didn't go through with it, and it really shows the people who did not vote to repeal it. These are the ones who should be getting massive phone calls for recall.
Well,
and not to vote for them again ever.
Well, the thing about the repeal of Obamacare this time around is they were going to replace it with the Republican version of Obamacare, essentially. And I understand, I really do like Rand Paul. I mean, he's not quite his dad, but he is pretty good. And, you know, some of the rest in the Freedom Caucus, this bill wouldn't have done anything. It was just a rewrite of Obamacare, you know. And I can hear some of these, and I listen to them all the time, these ultra right wing conservatives, social, whatever, you know, they're out there like screaming and hollering that you're never going to get the perfect bill. It's like, well, we don't want the perfect bill, but we don't want Obamacare Part 2 either. Okay. And they added the bailouts for the insurance companies. Don't want that. How about we just put this thing on the table where it's just a straight repeal? And
that's what I agree, because they're going to give $200 billion to the insurance company.
Yeah, no, well that
$200 billion, they're out of their minds.
That's the cushion that the insurance companies will have in case they get into trouble. And I guarantee you, they're going to manufacture a way for themselves to get into trouble just so they can get that free taxpayer money. You know, well, not free; it's basically off the backs of the working people in the country.
All right,
but as soon as it did fail, I mean, and that even came before they even bothered to vote on it. They knew it was going to go down in flames. Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan were floating around the idea, hey, maybe we should just do a straight repeal. Well, of course, the rhinos in the Republican Party, by the way, which a very small minority now do hold a lot of power, because they can torpedo anything that the Republican Party wants to do. You know, you got Murkowski from Alaska, you got Collins from Maine, and one other, and they know that they can get something for themselves on it. They immediately said, as soon as they started floating around the idea that they're going to do a full repeal, we're not voting for it. And it's like, you guys never vote for anything that's on the right side of the history in this country. So your guys are why don't they just change their political affiliation to Democrat? Because that's exactly what they are. McCain is another one. You know, they constantly get on the wrong side of things. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, don't be loyal to your party. I mean, be loyal to an idea. But these guys are they're not party loyalists. They're not idea loyalists. They are communist loyalists. They don't want to do anything that's going to benefit this country in a good way. Unless they get paid for it. And you know that George Soros is probably floating a ton of cash around Washington, D.C. at this point. And Donald Trump is got his back up against the wall. And I really hope he comes out swinging. You know, he already got rid of Spicer. You know, Spicer resigned, you know, quote marks resigned. And they put in Huckabee Sanders. Unfortunate last name, but that just happens to be her last name. And so she's going to be take over as the press secretary, and hopefully he gets rid of a bunch more. And I really do hope that at some point the Republican Party actually starts acting like a Republican Party instead of acting like a bunch of jackasses who are just walking around with their hand out and saying, anybody pay me, I'll vote whatever way you want. You know, I saw that in California. I saw that with the Republican Party in Los Angeles, and you were there too. We saw all of this going on, and they did the same thing in California now with this cap and trade bill they just passed for California.
The cap and trade bill that they just passed, because I just got wind that I guess John and Craig is talking about on the local KFI station,
right?
That they're going to shut roads. But it's not going to be just a 12-cent gas tax increase for it, because I'm paying $2.59. That it's going to be another 12 cents plus 74 cents.
This isn't even the gas tax. This is a tax on businesses for how much carbon they produce, because, you know, we can't have
enough
carbon.
Oh, my God.
So this is a cap-and-trade scheme on a state level that Al Gore wanted to do on a national and a global level. And they're going to have a carbon trading bank, just like they did in Chicago, that got shut down when cap and trade didn't pass then. But now California's doing it. And, you know, the Democrats are running around saying, this is such a great thing. We're going to cut down on global warming, of course, which is a lie that everybody knows. And businesses are going to get slammed. They're going to start, you know, the companies that work out of state businesses, for their headquarters, but do business within California, they're going to start trading these things off. It's going to become a huge money-making scam, and the taxpayer is going to pick up the bill. A lot of companies are not going to be able to function in California. My cousin who drives a truck cannot drive his truck legally in California because it doesn't meet their smog requirements, which, of course, you know, these businesses are now going to have to start becoming carbon efficient in order to be able to make sure that their share of carbon credits, you know, don't exhaust them all. And of course they have a certain amount that they give out for free. This is how I understand the bill. They give a certain amount out for free. Some years from now, they're not giving them out for free anymore. They're auctioning them off. So the companies now have to buy their carbon credits, and then they can swap them with each other. And it's going to become so complicated to work a business in California that I can see a whole bunch of businesses going under.
Well, I see business leaving in California because they can't even pay the $15. And they want to raise the minimum wage to $15. They've got this tax that – now, is it 74 cents a month, or how does this work?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to have to go – I need to do some research on this. But yeah,
I know they get some for free initially, and then they have to go to the carbon auction and buy the rest of them. And then they get to trade them with each other. So one company says, oh, I have exhausted all my carbon credits. You have a whole bunch more. I'll buy some from you. And that way I don't get a huge fine.
This is Jerry Brown and the New World Order. It's absolutely disgusting.
And the sad part about it is there's a bunch of Republicans in the California state legislature that went along with it, and they trotted out in a press conference saying what a great idea this is. And it's like, and you know, our friend Mark Reed, who ran for Congress several times in the San Fernando Valley, even he was going like, this is one of the most ridiculous damn things I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is just absolutely bad.
By
the way, who is running against? Is Mark going to make one more crack against Brad Sherman?
Yeah, he's
going to
take a crack at Brad Sherman again this year.
Great. I'm voting for him. We'll put a phone call into Mark and get him on.
All right.
Is that our break?
Yeah, we're coming into a break.
We'll be right back. This is the Granada Forum radio program. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back. This is the thing. This is the Granada Forum radio program, ladies and gentlemen. This is Revolution Radio, the number one commercial-free, listener-supported internet talk radio station in the world. Our call-in number is 206-855-3056. That's 206-855-3056. If you'd like to go to the homepage and live equivalent to a cup of coffee, please do. I'll check out Nighthawk's 35,000 seeds for a donation of 100 on how to grow, plant, and store the food. So that's really worth it. We thank you, Mr. Nighthawk, for that. We were trying to get Gary Wade. We have called him, so hopefully we're close. John, are you there?
Yes, I am, Wendy.
John, you want to make your real quick announcement, handsome?
Okay, I'll try to get it done pretty quickly. During this last week, Wendy and Nick, there was an Air Force general that made a rather interesting statement, trying to assure the American people that even though North Korean missiles are able to reach Hawaii and Alaska, they cannot reach the mainland of the United States, and that their guidance systems were not very accurate and not reliable. And I ask myself this question: who has provided the technology for North Korea's missile program? Well, obviously, China and Russia are the two major contributors to their technology. And in the case of China, they should have an A1 missile guidance system, because during the Clinton administration, the Chinese were able to get hold of the best missile guidance system in the world from the United States. And I'm sure that a lot of that technology reached North Korea over this period of time. I mean, the Clinton administration was in from roughly 1992 to 1996, until 2000. So they had plenty of years during that period of time to share information with North Korea. And in all probability, so did Russia to some extent. And keep in mind that most of the North Korean scientists and technicians were probably trained by Russian rocket scientists and Chinese rocket scientists. So they should have a very high-quality product. And for an Air Force general who's been with so many administrations, you wonder where his loyalty really is at this stage, besides his career, to make a statement without really having anything to back it up. Because logically speaking, North Korea should have an outstanding system. I hear rumors, for example, that their missile warheads would burn up when re-entering from the atmosphere. And yet, it's been confirmed from their earlier tests that was not the case at all, that they came through with flying colors. So basically, that's what I wanted to share.
Okay. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Let's bring in our guest. Gary, are you there, handsome?
We're trying him right now. He gave me a different number to call you back.
We got him now.
Gary,
are
you there?
Yes. Is that Wendy?
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, welcome to the program, Gary.
Yeah, the government interfered for a while, but I guess we bypassed them.
There you go.
Yeah, the NSA is tying up our bandwidth.
Yes, I know. They're no good, Nick.
Oh, my God.
They work for the Decepticon.
Here you go. Hey, I'm so glad to have you on. By the way, Gary, can you give out a phone number or a website how people can get a hold of you?
Well, let's see, I have a website, RifeEnergyMedicine.com. That's R-I-F-E, Rife, and then Energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, and then Medicine, M-E-D-I-C-I-N-E, and then a dot, and then a C-O-M. So it's RifeEnergyMedicine.com. That's my website.
Okay, great. Great. So, Gary, it's been a little while, but what have you been up to, handsome? I mean, as far as the technology goes, what have you been doing lately?
Well, as you may know, I was in the hospital for a year.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Well, yeah, I guess it was called an assassination attempt. But anyway, I survived it, and I've been out about, how many months have I been out now? I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months, something like that. And I'm working my Rife technology again, building machines, and going on radio program type things and talking about it. And I have my own, I guess, writings that I do when I think it's done as far as I can do, then I put it up on my internet site. If you're interested in certain types of things, you can read my stuff. I have a rather extensive article section on my site. And, of course, I have got my own little private research I'm always doing on different interesting little projects. I'm going to talk about some of that actually tonight, particularly my work on inert gases and their emissions, which are kind of freaky, actually, and interesting. So I've been doing Rife technology and working on various problems and keeping myself amused.
There you go. Now, have you been doing a little Rife technology on yourself, I mean, to get yourself better for whatever happened?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I had to pull out all the stops and use several different technologies to save myself. And we did, obviously.
Wow.
I'm talking to you.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you this. For people who are listening in, and maybe they don't know, what is Rife Energy?
Well, let's use the phrase Rife technology. I think that'd be more apt. There was a guy, as you know, once lived, Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, and he did most of his work in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, and he had several phenomenal accomplishments, two notable ones. First, he invented a microscope in 1920 that overcame a thing called the Fraunhofer diffraction limit in optics. Now, I'm a physicist by training. And one of the things they make you do, they torture you with, is they make you take optics classes and other things like that. And when you take the optics classes, one of the things you come across is the Fraunhofer diffraction limit. And they make you work the problem so you understand it, hopefully, and then you can move on. What that's about is this. Whenever you're dealing with lens systems that have a finite diameter and their curvature and they're in assemblies and whatnot, you get these things called diffraction phenomena. And it turns out that there's a thing called Fraunhofer diffraction, and what it boils down to is that you cannot get a lens to focus an image of a thing you're looking at below a certain magnification, or I should say below a certain size. For instance, the regular optical microscope you use, the ones that are commonly available to buy, used in medicine and research and whatnot, go up to around 2,000 or, and they can only resolve things that are 20,000 angstroms apart. A hydrogen atom, for instance, has a diameter of about an angstrom. So if you can take 2,000 hydrogen atoms and line them up in a row, anything that's smaller than that, you don't see it at all with the optical microscope. It's just invisible unless it's a bright little tiny light source putting out a lot of light. Then you see all you see then is this bright little light, but you don't see any structure. So you can only see structure and size and detail information when the object's over a certain size. And so viruses you can't see with these microscopes, and you can't see the fine structures of bacteria and whatnot, because it's just all too fine. And the reason you can't do that is because of this thing called the Fraunhofer diffraction limit. These lenses just will not let you be able to focus down to beyond a certain point. Rife found a way around that. He was able to see down at the virus level and see the fine structure of bacteria, and he did this in 1920. And so it was a phenomenal breakthrough in microscopy and in biology. But unfortunately, he was the only guy that had the microscope. He invented it. He was an optical genius, and he figured out how to overcome this thing called the Fraunhofer diffraction limit. So he was able to go off and do all kinds of marvelous research using his microscope. That was his first great breakthrough, shall we say, in discovery. And in the late 1920s into the 30s, he built these things he called frequency instruments. What they really were, basically, were old-time X-ray tubes that had a couple electrode elements inside and had low pressure, mainly helium gas. He experimented with different gas pressures and mixtures and whatnot, but he finally settled on helium mainly at low pressure, sort of like the analogous to a neon sign light, you know, that type of thing. And he would run a high-frequency, radio-frequency, high voltage between the electrodes in these old-time X-ray tubes, which are generally about 6 inches or so in diameter, bulbs. And they would get a nice plasma glow in the tube, and the tube would emit directly ultrasound of the frequency of the radio wave he was putting in, and multiples of it. It would also, the radio wave emission from the tube would go out into the environment, and any object that the radio waves went through would vibrate the object at the same frequency as the radio wave. So he was able to use his microscope to look at bacteria and virus-type size objects and bigger, and slowly change the radio wave frequency driving the tube and look to see what would happen to the bacteria or virus, wherever he's looking at. And he invariably always is able to find at least one frequency of oscillation that destroyed the thing quickly and easily. And so through his research, by about 1939, he had found the radio wave frequencies and therefore the ultrasound frequencies that were able to destroy the pathogens or causative agents of 52 major diseases. Really quite an accomplishment. He also had a 95% cure rate on the common cancers of the 1930s. So you asked me a question, I've just been babbling on.
I'm listening.
Yeah, just listen.
Well, anyway, Rice did this phenomenal work, yes. I'll give you an example of what's wrong in our current system. Hold on a second. Sinus problem here.
No problem.
Somewhat better now. We have a tremendous amount of corruption in our system and lying and dishonest, deceitful people whose only real interest is power and money.
Well, just a little.
You can go on, let's say, something like Wikipedia, you know, the, what should we call it, the Internet Free Encyclopedia. And yeah, what people do is they volunteer to write these extensive works on different subjects, and it's usually quite good. But I'll give you one that's bad. Go on Wikipedia and look up Rife, Royal Raymond Rife on Wikipedia. And they do a nice little article thing on him. And if you read that and take it at face value as they state it is, you go away with the impression that here's a guy that was experimenting, doing this and that, making claims that weren't verified and other people couldn't repeat it and blah, 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 blah. And in the end, he was discredited and there's really no need to go after and look at his work anymore. That's the impression I believe you'll come away with if you look at the current Wikipedia presentation on Royal Raymond Rife. Now, it's a great distortion, to say the least. It's half-truths and lies. They don't talk about what he did with the Rife microscope. They don't explain any of that. They don't explain the significance of it. They don't talk about all the diseases he, quote, cured. They don't really talk about the medical committee at USC, University of Southern California Medical School, and university itself set up a special medical committee that ran from about 1934 through probably about the mid-1940s. And they studied and verified all of Rife's work and oversaw it. And then they refused to ever make it, release it public.
Oh, my
they
God.
Sat on it. And the committee,
well, of course.
Chairman of that committee, he was assassinated at dinner by poison the night before he was going to do the news conference to release the work of the committee on Rife. But this is all covered up. You won't find that in the Wikipedia thing. You follow
right.
what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
You won't hear in Wikipedia how he had a 95% cancer cure rate in the 1930s. Okay? You won't be in his article. You know? So we're living in this cesspool of corruption ran by the pharmaceutical interests, other.
And that kind of thing is not just targeted at Rife. I mean, anytime anybody finds an actual cure for cancer, which there have been a few. Max
there's a bunch of them. Yes.
Yeah, Max Gerson has done it, or apparently Rife has done it, and if you immediately the discredit, the discrediting comes
too.
Into place, right? They immediately take away the credentials, and they go back and tell people, yeah, use radiation, by the way, which causes cancer. And, and chemotherapy, which is basically injecting your veins full of mustard gas.
Well, more than that. There's all kinds of chemotherapy, but you can also usually half the time just replace that with poison therapy.
Right, exactly.
There are some that are fairly benign, but most of them are not.
But anytime anybody finds a way to actually get rid of cancer, the Cancer Society, not the Cancer Control Society, but the cancer industry that's making money off of chemo and radiation, first thing they do is they attack them, discredit them. Max Gerson actually got run out of the country and had to go to Mexico to open one of his clinics. And, Rife, they discredited him. And the first thing they do is the media jumps all over and says, look, the guy's full, you know, he's full of it. He's not going to cure cancer. Meanwhile, the cancer industry is draining people's bank accounts and they die anyway.
Oh, yes. Right. Yes.
So,
yeah, like I said, we're living in a cesspool of corruption. I'm not sure how big the cancer industry really is. There's the direct cancer industry, we'll say, the costs that you can put your finger on. But there's also always secondary costs and other things that are going on and that you wouldn't normally consider, like, you know, how many houses are sold because the people got cancer, couldn't afford the insurance ran out or didn't have insurance. They had to sell the house and whatnot. So it's a little windfall for the realtor and the bank. This guy's cancer is actually profitable. You follow?
Right.
Things like that, you know, you don't think about it first, but you start thinking about it. After a while, you start to realize there's a lot of people in certain industries that are making lots of money from cancer indirectly. You have insurance companies, for instance. You have these outrageous premiums that people pay. And the insurance companies always want your money up front, but they want to pay out slowly. So they're one of the big problems also, because they're greedy and want to make a bunch of money. And as long as you'll foot the bill, everything is fine as far as they're concerned. It doesn't matter if it's going to drive you to the poorhouse or not. That's not their problem. So there's a lot of vested interests that want to see this thing kept, because it's a profitable cash cow. We had a thing called Laetril once, which worked great on most tumors.
Right.
And I think it was Sloan Kettering that did research on it. And the two first researchers that researched it said, hey, this stuff is great. So they suppressed those two guys. And they finally, I think, farmed the research out to some other quack company, subcontracted them. And they did the research that said that Laetril was bad. And then they gave that information, you know, this fraud, to the FDA, so the FDA could officially ban Laetril.
Yeah, and what's really funny is I remember hearing G. Edward Griffin a few years ago give a lecture about it, and one of the things that I do remember is that Laetril is very, very much found in apricot pits. And you know, the our government, if you go overseas, you can buy all the apricot pits you want. But try to bring them into America. You are limited to 5 of them.
Really?
Yeah, there's a guess why? There's a reason for that. They don't want you getting better. You know, uh-huh. You know, if Rife comes up with a machine that will actively fight cancer, they don't want that. You know,
we can repeat it again and again. We're dealing with a cesspool of corruption, greed. You know,
it reminds me of
the cancer industry. It's in the diabetes industry. It's in
right.
the arthritis.
Oh God, yeah.
Industry.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
Alzheimer's
you can get
industry,
what's his
the heart
name?
Disease industry. It's all about money, greed, and power. Control
exactly.
over your dollar.
Exactly.
It came out recently. I remember about a couple years ago now. It started to become pretty obvious that Alzheimer's is really a fungal infection in the brain. Actually, I think 6 different funguses were identified involved in Alzheimer's. And sound research, and that's just not some fluke, not somebody just speculating. But yet this has not hit the mainstream media whatsoever. And I guess we can see that. Just take a look at what's going on in the media right now in this fake news system we have.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, we learned in the mid-1970s, when they did, Senator Church's hearings on intelligence and on the news media and its collusion with the intelligence agencies. And in the open hearings of the, when the CIA in the open hearings, not their closed ones, of course, we found out that they would admit to having over 600, I think they called them elite media assets. These are the people they could contact and have a story planted or have a story suppressed or have a story spun a certain way. And they got money for doing this, lots of money. Now, that was in 75. Now, the NSA itself was never required to testify in open hearings, so we have, like, zero information on what they were doing with the media. But I think we know by now they have a lot to do with the media, particularly there was a book out once called, many years ago, I think it was called The Puzzle Palace. I think I remember it from about in the late 60s, early 70s, somewhere in there. And basically in there, they were pointing out how many people that were executives in American corporations and American multinational corporations that also worked for the National Security Agency. So you could say they were wearing 2 hats. So they were having directives out of the National Security Agency that would end up in activities of their corporation. Well, that hasn't stopped. Neither has the CIA's paying of news people. It hasn't stopped. Gotten worse. And since 75, there's been a complete consolidation in our media. We have 95% of the media now being owned by, I think, 6 corporations.
Gary, can you hold that thought for the 6 corporations? We'll be right back. This is Granada Forum Radio program, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. We have Terry Wade, the physicist. Hold on. We're right back.
Yeah, and I have a question from the chat room when we get back.
Oh, great. Hold on.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, welcome back to the Granada Forum Radio program, ladies and gentlemen. This is Revolution Radio. We are the number one commercial-free, listener-supported internet talk radio station in the world. Our call-in number is 206-855-3056. That's 206-855-3056. Our tonight's guest is Gary Wade. We'll be with him in just a minute or so. By the way, if you'd like to go to the homepage and live equivalent to a cup of coffee, we appreciate it. Or check out Nighthawks, 3,500 seeds for a donation of 100, how to grow, store, plant, and ETC, everything else under the sun. So we'd like to thank Mr. Nighthawk for that. Let's see. And Gary, your website is Royal Rife Energy.com?
It's RifeEnergyMedicine.com.
Okay, RifeEnergyMedicine.com.
Yeah, Rife spelled R-I-F-E, RifeEnergyMedicine.com.
Okay. Great. Okay, Rife Energy Medicine.com.
Right.
Gotcha. You did leave off the articles
page and see all the articles you can read.
Great. Okay, great. And real quick, you left off on, I can't think of the word.
About Alzheimer's being a fungal infection.
Yeah, and you're talking about the pharmaceutical companies and the five major media companies that own the stuff like that. Is that correct? Is that right, Nick?
Yeah. That's where we were at. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm still going through the chat room. So.
Okay.
But,
well, I wanted to say about the Alzheimer's, get back to it as opposed to just whizzing on. And I'll go ahead to the other part too. But once you realize that you actually have a real cause for Alzheimer's and that it's a fungus, that means it's a microbe. And Rife never found a microbe. He couldn't find a frequency of radio wave and therefore ultrasound that destroyed it quickly and easily. I mean, quickly now, like within less than a second. Gone, history, boom, you know, tuned to the right frequency. You have to be right on the frequency. If you're off a little bit, it doesn't work. But you get right on it, it's gone. Now, once you understand that, that means all Alzheimer's, if it's really caused by a fungus, when I'd say it is, are funguses, then you can just do a sweep and literally wipe all the funguses out in the brain of an Alzheimer's patient. Now, once you've wiped the fungus out, you now have to repair the brain. But that's doable. First, good old-fashioned nutrition, you know, lots of stuff that the doctors never talk about, you got to start taking. And one particular compound you can get a hold of, which is relatively dirt cheap, it's called lithium orotate, not to be confused with the lithium used for psychiatric purposes. It's a molecule that has lithium in it called lithium orotate. You start taking a small dose of lithium orotate every day, and your brain gets rebuilt. It's amazing. It's a transporter of all kinds of trace elements into the brain. So if you get good nutrition and take lithium orotate, you can repair all this stuff. You know, it's all fixable.
Okay, lithium orotate?
Lithium orotate.
Okay.
Right. Now, Gary, we got to look it up.
You can find some good research on it if you go looking for it.
Right. We got a question out of the studio from just this guy is, do you know about Gaston Nason's and the dark light capacitor and the Somatid?
Somatid. Yes, I know some about it. I mean, I'm familiar with some of his work, which is quite good. Pretty much comparable in many ways to Rife's work. He also invented a really great microscope, an ultraviolet microscope, where he uses a crystal device in it that doubles the frequency of the light and takes it into the ultraviolet. And when you go to much shorter wavelengths, you can see the much smaller resolution. And that's what he did. So with his ultraviolet microscope, Gaston Nason was able to go look at and find and see these things he called somatids, which Rife called BX and BY cancer viruses. The same thing, just two different names from two different researchers and two different time periods. So Rife did it first, and he named them BX and BY. BX was a little bit smaller than the BY version. They look basically the same geometry and everything, little ovoids with a proton transport flagella hair motor sticking out of the end of each of them. The BX cancer virus, when it was exposed to ultraviolet light, became very carcinogenic and caused carcinomas. And the BY cancer virus, as he named it, when it was exposed to ultraviolet light, it became very cancer-causing, but it caused sarcomas, the hard tissue, bone, connective tissue tumors. And Rife found two different frequencies or radio waves up around 1.6 megahertz, plus or minus that a little bit, very close together, that killed those two microbes. He found that cancer cells were teeming inside with these things, and that when he destroyed them by disintegrating them inside of the cells, their debris and, you know, the junk made from there being destroyed by these resonant frequencies so screwed up the cancer cell it died on the spot. So he was able to get rid of the cancers of the 1930s, about 95% of them, because they were caused by these microbes that had been activated basically by ultraviolet light. He was able to disintegrate them inside the cancer cells, and then their waste, their parts, their pieces, their molecules, this and that, screwed up the cell's chemistry so badly the cancer cell would die. So repeated treatments, not overdoing it, any one treatment, just like for 3 minutes he would treat and then wait 3 days and do it again. After about 30 to 50 treatments, depending on the size of the tumor and the type of tumor, it would usually be gone. The tumors he couldn't get rid of, quite often, were the ones where the people initially had gone in and got heavy X-ray or radium treatment on the tumor. What that did was cause new types of tumor cells that weren't the same as the original tumor, but they're now mixed in with the tumor and in the periphery of the tumor. So he'd go in with his frequencies and get rid of the original tumor, but the new tumors caused by the radiation would still be there, and he didn't have a frequency to kill them yet. So those people invariably would die of the new tumor. Okay, that covers that, I think.
Right. Well, we get another question from Justice Guy again. Did Rife ever make a connection between the electrical nature of the human body and the Earth's telluric currents?
Not that I know, but I'm sure he was interested in that sort of stuff. He was a very, very knowledgeable guy, did a lot of studying, but he was pretty much a very serious, quiet guy. He had lots of talents. He held, I think, the world open ocean speed record for probably 50 years. There's a great picture of him and the buddies in this boat he built with an engine he literally built himself, doing like about maybe 100 and something miles an hour out at sea, cruising on.
Oh, that's harsh,
too. Off the waves, huh?
That's harsh, too, when you get up to that speed on the ocean.
Oh, yeah. It can get you killed.
Yeah, pretty quick, too.
Yeah, he did that in the 20s, I think.
Wow. Gary, was he married?
Yes, he had a nice Chinese wife. They didn't have any children.
Oh, okay.
There was some type of problem, I think, there, but they don't go into detail. Let me recommend to the listener another website. It's probably the best website on Rife's work I've ever seen. My hat's off to them. They did really, really a superb job. It's
great.
Called rifevideos.com. R-I-F-E, then videos.com. And it's a broad website in what it covers. It's got videos, as it suggests, in its titles. It's got all kinds of pictures. It's got all kinds of historical documents. It's got people's writings and communications among the principals. It's got the story about his different types of equipment he worked on and how they worked. It's got a lot of good technical information. If you're a technoid, you want real information from a physics and electronics, it's got that too. It's also got wonderful historical information on, who the liars and the cheats and the thieves and murderers are. It's all in there. It's a great, fabulous site. It's I think it was put together and maintained by the same folks that sell you the, it's called the GB4000 unit, and which is a nice piece of equipment. So my hat's off to them. They did a really fabulous job. I highly recommend it. RifeVideos.com.
Okay, cool. Wow.
Well, anyway, let's talk more about what you can do with Rife if you really want to.
Please do.
Now, Rife, pardon?
Please do.
I got one before we go into
sure.
a little bit more on
okay.
that, because we were talking about Alzheimer's before, and you talked about it being a fungal infection, and a lot of the stuff that I had read said it had a lot to do with aluminum oxides being deposited in the brain. So is there a connection there, or is that just not even something that's happening?
Well, you have a real serious problem with the aerosol trails or chemtrails.
The chemtrails,
and
that
they're
right.
putting all kinds of
right.
aluminum into the atmosphere. And
barium.
And barium. And it's eventually working its way down to us mere mortals down here at the surface. So, yes, we have aluminum poisoning going on. Thank you, world government, behind the scenes. I wish I could shoot your aircraft out of the sky, but I don't want to kill the innocent people, but I wish I could shoot your aircraft out of the sky. These guys have been doing all kinds of things and getting away with it for many a year. They're poisoning the planet. They're poisoning us. They're scumbags. That's all I can say. And a lot of them that work for them think that they're doing the good and right thing, like they're doing weather modification to save the planet. They believe that. And there may even be some truth in it, but only partial truth. These guys never seem to ever come out and be forthright with you, you know. It's like they tried to do the global warming trick on us, okay? But they got caught at that. The emails, the good old emails that it keeps sending to each other because it's the
right
neat way to communicate. Eventually, you get caught. Somebody gets a hold of your emails, and you find out what you've really been saying privately, and then you compare that to what you've been doing publicly, and you say, well, they're lying. They're cooking the books. They're changing the data. They're just awful, and that's what they were doing, and they were caught at. So they had to give up global warming.
Yeah, and they call it climate change now.
Oh, yeah, now it's climate change. Well, look, we've always had global warming and global cooling. It comes, it goes, it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. That's, I mean, come on.
It's been going on for 4 billion years.
Yeah, you're on.
We're not going to change it now.
No, the real driver of our weather is the sun. I mean, any fool should be able to tell you that. That sun goes out, this world, the atmosphere liquefies out and turns to an ice of oxygen and nitrogen in not too long a time. It's the sun. It's the power plant that runs the weather and everything on this planet. And the sun has cycles. For instance, the sun has a cycle every 1,050 years. It kind of hiccups and burps and puts out a whole bunch of X-flare type stuff and ablations and is active, which greatly affects the weather. And then it calms down again, but it does that every 1,050 years like clockwork. And then every 10th time in that cycle, that's every 11,500 years, it really goes bonkers and much more. And that's when you get the super mass ablations and super X flares, the things that actually do lots of damage down here on the planet. And we got good records of this going on in the ice pack in Greenland. You can go down back about over half a million years in ice cores. And you can see the beryllium-10 isotope pattern in these core samples. And it shows clearly what's going on. But this information is not being conveyed at all to the public because there's these guys who are, well, what was that, like in the Transformers, the Decepticons?
Yeah.
Or if you're the Rocky and Bullwinkle era, they're the no-good-nicks. Well, there are these people out there who are into power and greed, you know, and running your life and controlling you. And so they come up with a story because they hire a think tank, you know, like Tavistock in England or Pick Rand Corporation here or the ones around Washington. There's all these think tanks, so these highly paid PhD type guys thinking up stories. The story of the con, just replace that with cons, thinking up the cons they're going to play on you. Well, we had global warming. That didn't work, but now we're into climate change. Okay, yeah, there's all kinds of climate change going on, and it happens regularly. And sometimes it gets really nasty for a while, and then it settles down to some new norm again for maybe a century or two or three, and right. Then it does another damn thing, you know, on and on and on. But people are so ignorant, not educated, don't communicate well, that they can be sold these stories. And why? Well, they want to make money on carbon taxes and things like that, like Mr. Al Gore, you know?
Yeah.
Had a pretty good reputation.
I would really be interested to find out if it were possible, what Al Gore's position would be 5 billion years from now when the sun went supernova and pretty much fried the Earth. And you know, how is he going to chalk that one up to global man-made global warming? You know?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he'd say that those scientists in the, you know, two billion years back that were messing in the sun's atmosphere. So, I don't know. Pick a story you like.
Right. You know, I wonder what he would do if on Venus, if he had to impose a global warming tax on there. So,
well, you know, there's things you could do to Venus. You could use different types of compounds inserted into the atmosphere to shut down their greenhouse effect, you know, and to bring the planet down by a few hundred degrees on the surface anyway.
You mean like what they're trying to do to us now?
No, I think it'd have to be much more much more material intensive and expensive and technology we don't have right now.
And you'd practically have to put a Dyson sphere around Venus to cool that thing down.
No, but, I think you could do it by messing with the chemicals in the atmosphere. But it's just speculation on my part. I'm not going to worry about it.
Right, right.
But getting back to Rife technology, once you understand what Rife did, you realize you can expand his work. Just imagine if Wright hadn't been shut down effectively in the 40s, just, you know, the work basically got ended. If he had not been shut down and had gone through the natural progression of progress with technology,
right,
like it developed out of World War II and whatnot, and march it forward in time till today, we wouldn't have a conversation here about this whole thing because it would be the norm, and we wouldn't have, literally, we wouldn't have any of these diseases we got today. They'd be already taken care of or totally under control. All the virus problems gone, both for plants and animals, both on the land and in the water and in the sea.
Wow.
That's where the natural progression of Rife technology would have led us to. Let me give you a simple example. There's this microbe called, you know, the malaria bug, right? And this is a major problem on the planet. You have big foundations like the Gates Foundation that claim they want to fix it and cure it. I don't believe them, by the way.
I don't believe them either.
This is just one citizen's opinion. As far as I'm concerned, they're developing the vaccine so they have a medium in the future to inject you with whatever they also want to get you to have, because there is a eugenics program going on.
Absolutely.
For instance, there was the vaccines that were given in, mainly the Philippines and Mexico. There was supposedly a tetanus vaccine, and it was a tetanus vaccine. Why? Because of sterile conditions are not so good in certain places where women are having babies, and they had a problem with lockjaw, a tetanus. So they wanted a vaccine to suppress that activity, and they wanted young women of childbearing age to take the vaccine. It made all sense, you know. But what they didn't tell you, they put a special toxoid in the vaccine that made the young woman, when she got pregnant, abort her fetus.
Oh, my God.
So what they effectively did was sterilize 4 million women in the Philippines and Mexico combined before the whistleblowers came out that knew what was going on and got it stopped. Okay?
Oh, my God.
But that's it. Once you see something like that happen, you realize just how corrupt it is. You take the World Health Organization. They went to Central Africa, and I think they mass vaccinated 7 countries in Central Africa, way back in the 70s. I think it was for a polio. It was a polio vaccination camp. You know, get rid of that damn polio. Well, it wasn't too long after that this thing called AIDS showed up there. Except they weren't calling it AIDS then. They were calling it everything but AIDS. It was only when it finally showed up here in the U.S. In gay people that we finally got the name AIDS settled on. But what happened was that they infected all these people with these vaccines that had AIDS-like viruses in them, apparently man-made by U.S. military. I have no real proof, but there's sort of a paper trail that suggests they were working on it and they were involved. Leonard Horowitz has written a good book on it. And so you can take his work and look at it. And I think he hit the nail on the head there. Now, here's the interesting thing. When one of the big pharmaceuticals, I think it was Merck, but I can't remember if it's Merck for sure or not, they wanted to make a special vaccine for gay people. I didn't know that the virus, hepatitis B virus, could tell a person's sexual preferences. Did you?
No.
but they already had a hepatitis B vaccine for those heterosexuals, and supposedly I think the gays too. But they, for some reason, decided to come up with a special vaccine for the gays. So naturally, they subcontracted somebody to get blood that was needed for the process for making the vaccine, and they subcontracted the New York City Blood Bank to do that. And for some reason, the New York City Blood Bank thought that Zambia and Zaire was the place to go on the planet to get its blood. Now, Zambia and Zaire were two of the countries that were of the 7 countries that the World Health Organization had done the mass vaccination program that had brought AIDS to Central Africa. You follow? So they brought that blood from Zambia and Zaire, processed it, and turned it over to the pharmaceutical people for the manufacture of the vaccine. The manufacturers of the vaccine then advertised in 6 major American cities and gay publications for promiscuous gay men to take the vaccine to help protect them from hepatitis B. And they bought on that. They took the image and said, "Oh yeah, I need that vaccine," and got it. And then about 2 so years after they already got this mass vaccination going on, strictly of the promiscuous gay men, you had this new disease showing up in the gay population, which became known as AIDS. So by, let's see, trying to think of what year is which, I'm getting my numbers screwed up, but I think it was by 1984, they would admit, they being the CDC, there was a 60% correlation between those who had gotten that vaccine, hepatitis B vaccine specifically designed for gays, and those who had gotten AIDS, a 60% correlation. From then on, they would not give any data. To this day, they won't tell what the correlation is between getting that vaccine and dying of AIDS.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about corruption on high here. This is systemic rotten corruption throughout our federal government. We need a massive purge of this government. We got to get all the guys in the CIA and the NSA that are running our news media. They got to get out. We got to get rid of them. The executives, I was trying to get to that earlier. The executives in the news corporations that are running our media, they're wearing two hats. They're working for the CIA and the NSA and other people, too. We got to get rid of them. Got to take away their radio stations or their TV stations, whatever. You got to wake them up and say, no, you're going to have to actually do some real investigative reporting. You're going to have some integrity and honesty, or you can't have the public airways. That's just one citizen's opinion out here on the West Coast, you know?
Yeah, right.
But I think there's a lot of people that see it now, or I mean, I can't believe every day they're crucifying Trump over bullshit.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah.
You know, there's no evidence there. There's just no evidence there. But they pretend there is. This Nancy Pelosi up from California,
she's
over $200 million she's made for insider trading while being in Congress. Now, if you're a congressman, you can do insider trading. Everybody else in the country, it's a felony. But Congress won't make it illegal for themselves. So Nancy's made a well over $200 million
on that. That's true. They actually made a law that said that, or they actually made some rules in Congress that said they cannot be prosecuted for insider trading.
Yeah. So these attorneys, most of them are attorneys, go to Congress and make a fortune. You know, and I'll get all the good benefits of being a congressperson and make a fortune on insider trading. I mean, it's a corruption on high. That's our problem. The country is dying of systemic rotten corruption of these rotten, corrupt people. You know, and both parties have got it. I mean, the Democrats, I think, right now are the most egregious, but don't let the Republicans off the hook. They're doing the same thing.
Oh, I've seen the Republican Party in California. I know exactly how corrupt they are.
Yeah, I mean, come on. They're both corrupt. They're both rotten at their cores. I don't know what to do about it. I'm not, on an emotional, primitive level, my reptilian brain says, shoot the bastard. But the trouble is, you don't know which one to do. You follow? Yeah, I don't want to shoot the wrong one.
Believe me, I think when it comes to the Republican corruption at this point, I think my reptilian brain is in overdrive.
Hey,
Gary. Libertarians, though, I can trust a libertarian, that's for sure. Hell no.
Hey, Gary. Now, isn't it true too that, and people don't know this, but it was John D. Rockefeller that started the the MDA, the American Medical Association, and he is not a doctor of medicine at all.
I don't know how that actually got formed. I wouldn't be surprised if he was supporting it.
That he formed it, that it came from Rockefeller, and he started the American Medical Association, and it's just unbelievable the corruption that has been going on since some of these guys have gotten into power and gotten control over so many things that the average American doesn't really quite understand.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I guess when finally death settles, I mean, if we're going to be, I guess, honest with ourselves, I think we'd have to say it's the American people that are responsible for this mess. Even though we don't like to admit our own culpability and our own, I don't know what the right word really is, but let's face it, most all of us have seen corruption all of our lives. And we become, as you get older, usually more perceptive of how the corruption is done. We see it more clearly and easily. And it's everywhere. But we seldom go out and really get on our high horse, as they say, and do much about it. I mean, most, there are... towns all over this country, or counties and whatnot, have a rotten, corrupt DA, have rotten and corrupt judges, that have rotten and corrupt police. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's everywhere, you know. There's pedophiles all over the place, and people don't want to see it, but it's there. They're degenerates. They're all there. It's just humanity. It's been that way. You read the history books. You go back to the Greeks, you know. That's why the Greek plays still make sense, because
yeah.
we haven't changed right. that much.
Yeah, and they've been getting the pedophile rings have been getting busted quite a bit lately,
by Trump's
which is really
yeah.
which is really driving them up the wall. This question,
I think I can't remember if it was in Denmark or maybe it was Netherlands or someplace there a few years ago. A whole bunch of government officials were caught in the pedophile ring.
Oh yeah,
and it was really bad. And
yeah, they got a whole bunch in Los Angeles, too, just recently.
I was going to say, the fire department in that capital city, they did something amazing. They on their own, decided to take their ladder trucks and their pumper trucks out to the Capitol buildings and the government buildings, and they hosed them all down, symbolically saying that this government needs to be cleaned up.
Right.
This is our last break, guys. It'll be very, very fast. Hold on. We'll be right back with Gary Wade, give out his website, and talk some more stuff on technology and medicine and all kinds of good stuff. Hold on. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio. And now we return you to your host.
Hey, welcome back to the Granada Forum Radio Program, ladies and gentlemen. We are the number one commercial-free, listener-supported internet talk radio station in the world. Our call-in number is 206-855-3056. That's 206-855-3056, or freedomslips.com, Studio A. And Gary's website is rifeenergymedicine.com. That's rifeenergymedicine.com. Anything else you want to say about your website, Gary?
Oh, yeah, I like my website, you know, but I'm prejudiced. I'm prejudiced source. I think the best thing about my website is my articles page, because I have a lot of my articles, which naturally are good articles, and I have a whole bunch of other articles I consider also good, and we deal with a whole broad spectrum of things in the articles page. I go from Rife technology to UFO stuff all in that same area.
Wow.
So I'd say if you're interested in a broad spectrum of different things that you might be interested in, go take a look at my article section and to see what you might want to read there.
Right. Real quick, too, is there any questions want to be asked? John, do you want to ask a question to Gary?
Yes, I do. By the way, Wendy, did you and Nick talk about Paul Ryan earlier in the program?
Yeah, a matter of fact, I'm going to do some more research on that, but we'll make an announcement. We'll do something next week, too, in the beginning of after my announcements.
Okay.
Okay.
Being a physicist, I don't know if you heard the same announcement that I did this week, but what is your take when that Air Force general, American Air Force general, said that North Korean guidance systems are not very accurate and unreliable? I find that kind of hard to believe, considering the Chinese and Russian technology available to them, and indirectly the American technology, which came about during the Clinton administration.
Well, I have no real inside information on that, but it's obvious, if anyone was paying attention, there were people that wanted to see a lot of transfer of technology to the Chinese, with some money changing hands back in the Clinton years.
Yes.
We also have the situation where some of that bled over into Pakistan and to India. We don't know how much, but it's evident that they've been very active with. Well, for instance, there's always the official story, and then there's really what happened. Okay? Looks to me, just from my looking, that North Korea has had a lot of help from Pakistan. Okay? Both on bomb design and on missile stuff. How much? Don't know, but that's what it looks like. And don't forget Iran. There are different players who are playing various games, and they see, you know, tie America up here with a crazy doing things, and the Americans won't have time maybe to mess with us while we do our plan. That's my take on it. Is that really what's happening, or several of the games? I'm clueless. You know what I mean? So yeah. I wouldn't count on them having terribly bad guidance systems. I'm sure they're not as good as ours, but that doesn't mean they can't get a bomb to you and blow you to hell. You know,
yeah.
It's like the Russians when they had that problem back, and I guess in the 70s and 80s, they solved it very simply. They said, well, if our guidance system is off by plus or minus 5 miles or so, let's send three bombs there. Yeah. You know, one of them will probably be close enough, and we're taking care of that whole area. You know, that's just overkill, but that's the mentality these guys have.
Right, and that's why the so-called Cuban Missile Crisis came about, because they could fire a far more accurate intermediate-range missile from a closer range and without any warning, because there was no due line.
Right, they could take Washington and New York with no problem, and they had the missiles and they had the nuclear weapons in Cuba.
Right. Now, going back to Leotro, years ago, I did know a chemist that was able to produce that, and I think he was able to save a lot of lives. And then, of course, there was one prominent physician whose son's been on this program a few times, who was put in prison for a while for prescribing Leotrol to some of his patients. I think Dr. Contreras practiced in Mexico for a while. He had a clinic near Tijuana. And I remember years ago, as a late adolescent, coming into contact people when I went down to a fair at in San Diego at Del Mar near the racetrack there, and I encountered some of these people that were basically involved in health back then. This goes back to the late 50s, and unfortunately, they're labeled here in the United States as quackery, and yet in many instances, if they get there early enough, they're able to save a lot of lives. But unfortunately, so many people wait until the very last moment when nothing can be done, you know. And I just find it so sad that here in America, as you've pointed out through the entire program, we're literally brainwashed into believing that the pharmaceutical chemotherapy and the radiation will cure us. You know, it's criminal, you know.
It is criminal, John.
Yeah, I mean, most people are frankly lazy. They won't take the time and responsibility to learn about nutrition, health, what cancer is really about. They don't know jack. You know, that's just how it is. I'm not going to make them bad people because of that. I'm just saying that's the reality right now. And so they turn themselves over to the expert, the authority. And that's where they obviously get in real trouble if you're dealing with a very corrupt system, which we have. Now, I'm not going to say that all these oncologists are criminals. Some of them are. But most of them, I think, mean well. And there's a lot of them that know that they're working in the middle of a corruption. They don't have the courage themselves to stand up and say it because they don't want to lose their careers. They don't want other things to happen to them either. So
right.
That's one of the things I think is really going on. But the real main problem is people keep turning themselves over to authority figures that they shouldn't be turning themselves over to. Secondly, the population doesn't know how to get mad and mean enough to go after these guys that are corrupt. You know, they bleed just like we do. Not that I'm suggesting people go out and bludgeon them and whatnot. But the point is, they're just like us. They're vulnerable. And if we put up with them, we turn away and don't do anything about it, they win. That's how they've been doing it all the way along. They intimidate people, they lie to folks, and the system and the game goes on.
Right. I got a question. It's probably kind of on topic, maybe a little bit off topic, but we got a question from the chat room again. They're asking if is there a connection between Leotril and the... Okay, and I'm going to pronounce it the way they wrote it. MFR gen mutation methylation process.
No clue.
Methylation process?
Well, there's a bunch of chemistry involved with Laetril. It's not just
right.
Putting Laetril in and boom,
right.
It works. There's a bunch of metabolism steps that go on. And I'm, you know, no expert on that. I've just read the, you know, I've read a few articles that is what it amounts to. But, you know, I'd really like to see how much time we have left. We've only got about another 20 minutes.
Yeah, just about.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to touch on, let's say, a few more words on Rife, and then I'd like to jump to inert gas emissions. Okay? Everybody agree? All right, good.
Yeah, go for it.
I want everybody to understand how simple it is for us to clean the world if we decide to. If we decide to learn a little bit of information and apply it intelligently, how we can clean up amazing things on the planet that are of microbial disease type problems and viral. What Rife discovered in a nutshell is that all of these different microbes that he studied, all of them, he could always find a radio wave frequency and therefore the same frequency in ultrasound that would kill them quickly and easily. Because these microbes, and he studied them on the micro level, and we know it now from electron micrograph stuff and other stuff, these, like for instance, the outer coat of a virus in general, it's a highly periodic two-dimensional surface that repeats and repeats and repeats and interlocks structures that are highly resonant in the outer capsid coat of the virus. And once you see that, you realize you're looking at a highly mechanically resonant structure. So if you come in with specific frequencies that shake the structure just at the right rate, it absorbs that energy and overdrives itself, and it literally blows apart. The Rife said they looked like little hand grenades going off down there when he was watching them with his microscope. He had tuned to their frequency, they blew up like little hand grenades, you know. Osmotic pressure inside is higher than out, and so they'd blow. They'd literally blow up. Once you see and understand just how easy these things can be killed, once you're on that very fine resonant frequency for that particular virus or that particular microbe, then you see you can clear the world. You can shut down biological warfare. All you have to have is a radio transmitter, frankly, that's tunable. You tune to the frequency of the microbe and so many miles radius around that transmitter, that thing cannot exist. Or you can get a carrier wave and modulate it at different modulation frequencies and produce what are called sidebands. And when one of the sidebands matches the frequency of the microbe, it's gone again. So you can use that technique to slowly sweep through all the frequencies that you need, and you can scan an entire area and clean out everything. Not just one guy, you can crowd kill. Just pick one after another, after another, after another. And it's all
like,
well known how to do.
It's like carpet
now,
bombing.
Now, why aren't we doing it?
it's like carpet bombing the viruses.
Yeah, viruses, bacteria, funguses, rickettsia, who don't you like?
Right, exactly.
Now, it shuts down biological warfare, and that really annoys a lot of governments on this planet that have heavy investment in their biological weapons that they're planning on using on us in the future.
Right.
Like Nixon said, he shut down the biological warfare in the United States in 1969, that we weren't going to do that no more. Well, it turns out he was a liar, but I don't even know if he knew he was a liar, but there was part of the government that continued on. What they did is they took the program, broke it down into small pieces, compartmentalized it, and shipped it out to universities and private corporations and kept working. SARS, that's our virus, you see? That's our biological war weapon. Fermentans incognita, which is half the cause of the first Gulf War illness. You know, the guys, I don't know how many we lost it finally. Was it 50,000 guys from that thing?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah, that went home and more or less died quietly along with their pets that were infected.
Yeah, and they were
the population.
Yeah, and the VA basically told them that they didn't have anything that came.
It's
from
all
the
in
Gulf.
Your head. Take a pill. You know, here, take this antidepressant or take this.
Oh yeah, I believe me, I'm very well versed in what the VA does because I have to use them. And it's all pretty much like here, take this dope. You know, if that doesn't work, take some stronger dope, and if that doesn't work, here, take a stronger one.
And then
to the point
yourself,
where you get into a coma.
Fails. Yeah, exactly.
Everything's in a pill with them.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we developed those microbes. That's our stuff, and we gave it to the enemies to use. We, for instance, Mycoplasma fermentans incognitus, we gave to the Iraqis. The Iraqis then put it on their Starburst missile warheads, on the Scud missiles. They had a thing called a Starburst missile warhead. And so when we were staging our troops and supplies in Saudi Arabia for the invasion into Kuwait and go on to Iraq, they were sending Scud missiles over that had the weaponized version of that microbe in the warhead. So they would detonate 500 feet above the staging areas, above the supplies and the troops. And they had chemical weapons they were using, along with, you know, other microbial weapons. All denied, you know, by our people. Oh, no, they weren't doing that. Bullshit. They're just liars. One thing you can see about the government, for sure, they lie, they lie, they lie. Okay? It's like when we were invading Iraq in the first out of Kuwait into Iraq in the first Gulf War. Our military columns are driving out through the desert heading into Iraq. Our troops reached a place called Qamishia, which was the supply depots for the Iraqi chemical weapons. Okay.
Yeah, Joyce Riley talks about Qamishia in her videos. Absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, Joyce passed a couple of weeks ago of cancer.
I didn't know. Oh,
yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, and anyway, when our troops reached there, they had their video cams with them, and they photographed what they found in the bunkers. What they found was all these chemical weapons in the bunkers and shells and stuff, and they were in the crates that were stamped with U.S. Commerce Department.
Yeah.
In other words, all those chemical weapons there at that depot were from the United States.
Well, yeah, and
there's the colonel there on the site contacts General Schwarzkopf and says, "Hey, my God, here we have this vast supply of chemical weapons here and whatnot and blah blah blah." And Schwarzkopf says, "Blow it up, blow it all up." And the colonel says, "No, you don't understand. We got all this stuff here. It's deadly." He said, "Yeah,
right.
Blow it up." So he blows it up because he follows orders during a war. So the gas from Qamishia, all the chemical weapons that we had there, goes up in the atmosphere and drifts out over the desert. And guess where it drifts over to?
Yeah, right over
our
troops.
Troop columns. Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
There's a
guys
there's a whole
don't feel good anymore.
There's a whole documentary about the chemical weapons that were found in Iraq that they said didn't exist
in the first war.
Yeah, and they talked about, and the vets that were over there at the time, they talked about how the sirens would go off every time they were going to blow up one of the chemical depots. And a few of them actually went in there with, you know, they had their cell phones on them, which, by the way, I don't think our government has quite figured out can actually record video. And they did record the fact that these were, boxes labeled with American stamps
Commerce
on them.
Department, yeah.
Right. And the thing that drives me nuts the most at worst is because, again, I have to deal with the VA, as the VA has not acknowledged that these guys got hammered with chemical weapons from the United States that Donald Rumsfeld sold to... I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm getting really. I'm just.
I get choked
because I get pissed.
Yeah.
You know, they sold these things to Saddam Hussein, and then they claimed he said he didn't have them, and they knew he had them because we sold it to him.
Yeah.
You know, and our guys, the vets that I have to go to the VA and see all the time are the guys who are suffering from this shit, and it really drives me up the goddamn wall.
And it should, you know. Listen, I want to change gears, though, and move on to inert gases.
Go ahead.
Me and a friend of mine will call Anonymous because he doesn't like publicity. So Anonymous and I, over several years period, we did a lot of work on inert gases. And by that I mean inert gases appear to have or do have these emissions that come off from them, and they can be excited to give off stronger and more emissions, and you can also... convince them to put it into a beam form so you can make a beam treatment thing with it. So what we ended up doing was we took let's say approximately 6 to 8 inch long glass tubes that were about an inch and a quarter in diameter and filled with inert gas combinations at very low pressures like you'd have, let's say, in a neon sign in that range and around that range. And we would do things to the gas in the tubes. We'd expose them to an axial magnetic field that went along the axis of the tube. we would expose the gas to very rapidly changing magnetic fields that's generated in the gas, electric fields that started ionization of these guys, exciting the and ionizing the inert gas, a certain percentage of them, and accelerating them around the tube so they collide with other inert gas atoms. And we found that we could get strong emissions coming out the ends of the tubes. And you could feel them if you were a sensitive person. There's a lot of people that are sensitive to these fields. I'm not particularly sensitive to it, but I know several people that are quite sensitive, and they can use their hands literally as detectors that are fairly reliable. What we determined was is that there were probably two types of radiation coming off the inert gas. One appeared to be what we call longitudinal electromagnetic, and its frequency is up in the hundreds of megahertz into the gigahertz. And we call it longitudinal because it has the ability, when you shine this beam coming out of the tube onto a piece of sheet metal, it effectively goes right through the sheet metal. Some attenuation, but goes right on through. So regular electromagnetic radiation would reflect off of the sheet metal going back the other way somewhere, whereas this stuff goes right on through. At least it gives you that impression. If you actually properly analyze it in physics, you see that you're regenerating the longitudinal wave on the other surface by another process, but I won't try to go into those details here. So that was one thing we noticed. We also noticed that there was another type of field, and this field was booga booga spooky, and I'll call it etheric radiation because it seems to interact with your energy body of your body, because you're not just simply the physical body you realize. You're also another body that's housed inside of it and up to the surface. And some people are rather aware of this, and other people are totally oblivious to it, and that's just how it is. And we found that, for instance, we could shine the beam with both components in it onto a person, let's say it has a tumor. And it was very anti-tumor. The tumor would get all inflamed and whatnot and die back. And we wondered what that was about, you know. We also found that we could get different types of damage from infections and whatnot. We could get them to heal. And we being me mainly, I did work on it. And I figured out what was going on to my satisfaction, though, you know, it requires real research labs and lots of money to prove it definitively so that everybody will agree. But it looks like what's going on is that these longitudinal electromagnetic waves that are being emitted by the inert gases just happen, you know, God's got a sense of humor, just happen to line up with the resonant frequencies of certain parts of your genetics, diagnostic genetics that you have that are operating before you're born. For instance, when you're in a fetus in the womb, you're going through a very rapid developmental growth and whatnot, and the system is always checking on itself to see how it's doing, trying to make sure everything is right. Sometimes you get a defect, for instance, like a heart problem in a young infant, and the doctor can listen to the system, you know, they can listen and say, hey, there's a defect. They use ultrasound and whatnot now. It's high resolution. They can see the problem. They say, this child's got such and such a heart defect, and it's invariably going to be fatal about a month or two after the child is born because this is how it is. And so there was a surgeon some years ago that said, well, what if we operated while the baby was still in the womb and the baby had all of mama's support system for breathing and blood supply and all the nutrients? Let's go in and see if we can fix the heart defect while it's in the womb, sew it back up, and see if it'll make it. Well, they did it, and the babies made it on certain types of problems they could fix. Right. What was most amazing to the surgeons, I think, was when the baby was born, there were no scars on the chest cavity, you know, and on all the scar tissue was not there that you normally see from surgeries. It was right. Not there. So because the system still had a whole bunch of genetics turned on that was using to continually check to see how well things were going in the fetal development. And when it came across the scar tissueing problem, it just didn't let it happen. It fixed it. Did total repair. So what we think happens is we're opening up, when we were using these inert gas beams at different mixtures, we're opening up different genetics that haven't been opened up since you're a fetus. And it causes self-diagnostic of the cells itself. A cancer cell analyzes itself and says, I'm defective, and commits suicide. You see? And other problems you got, I got this problem, and it goes to fix it. We've seen all kinds of very interesting things change on people. Anyway, it's just a beginning work in progress, and I thought I'd like to mention it tonight to throw the idea out there into the public mind that
Am I cut off?
No, I'm here. I'm just waiting for you.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's that everything went dead, and I'm like, oh, something just happened. Yeah, but it was somebody that I was listening to on a documentary a while ago when they were talking about the DNA structure, and they weren't a doctor. They weren't a physicist of any kind, and they looked at the structure of the DNA double helix, and they said, that's an antenna. That thing is designed to pick up, you know, how you design an antenna that picks up electrical frequencies.
Well, it's known now for many years that the B-DNA, which is most of the DNA in your body is called B-DNA, with a small amount of Z-DNA in between inserted here and there, which is an insulator. But B-DNA is electrically conductive. And so in normal operation, you can, with a bright microwave or hundreds of megahertz into the gigahertz, you can start electrical oscillations on your DNA at different sections if you have the right frequency to match the resonance of that section. And so what I'm really trying to say is your DNA is really partitioned into little resonant antennas. One end will probably have a Z-DNA, which is an insulator on it, and the other end will probably have a locker block, either another Z-DNA or a lockdown blocker protein clamping down so firmly on the DNA that it makes it highly resistive to non-conductive. So from that place to the other place, the Z-DNA, you have a section of conducting B-DNA. It has a certain specific length. That means it has a certain specific frequency that it resonates with. So if you expose that frequency to that section, it starts a standing wave on the section, and after the amplitude of the wave gets over a certain amount on that section, the Z-DNA at the front undoes itself and becomes B-DNA, and at that same location, this thing called a promoter protein that jumps forward and grabs the DNA there, and behind it's called a reader enzyme. It comes up and mounts on the promoter protein, and then it begins to open up the two strands apart and starts transcribing the whole section that's been opened up. So in other words, if you know what you're doing, you can open up your DNA selectively and feed certain genes.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.